Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
This morning I want to preach from the subject, Built to Last. Built to Last. Matthew chapter 7, it's in the New Testament. Verses 24 is where we'll start reading. It says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended. The floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall. For it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rains descended. The floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. God's word for the people of God. Today I'd like to just talk about built to last. This story gives us a parable of two different builders. And I'm familiar that this story is not as famous as the parable of the prodigal son, nor the parable of the good Samaritan. But I think this parable has a lasting impact on those who are not just listeners of his word, but doers of his word. And I think that's the point of this parable, not to just simply be a hearer of the word, but to be a doer of the word. The story, if you allow me to tell it in my way, there were two men that struck up a conversation while standing in line for building permits. As they talked, they discovered that they were building in the same neighborhood, the same vicinity. One man immediately, after receiving his building permit, went to Home Depot and brought the necessary supplies to start building his new mansion, his house, while the other just simply stopped by to get a shovel. One started immediately to build, framed up the house, laid the foundation, framed up the house, put the roof on the house, put up the walls, while the other one just simply went out and just started digging. Day after day with his shovel, he just dug. And on one of those occasions when his wife came out to bring him lunch, the man with the shovel, his wife said to him, what's taking you so long? The neighbors across the street are about to move in. They've already announced their housewarming party, but all you're doing is simply digging. And the man with the shovel said, uh-huh. And he just kept digging. She said, I'm frustrated with you. I'm never going to bring you lunch again. If all you're going to do is just dig. Hurry up. I want to get into my brand new house. Let's catch up with the Joneses. I mean, the neighbors across the street. And he just kept digging. And in her frustration, she made her way to her car. And as it was, when she almost got to her car, he hit something hard. He started smiling. He said, there it is. He called his wife back. He said, I found what I was looking for. Weeks went by. He laid the foundation on this solid rock, put up the walls and put on the roof, dried it in. And in just a few short weeks, they were able to move into their brand new house. And so it was. WIS predicted that there was going to be a storm in the area. The winds came. The rains came. As a matter of fact, I think it started flood. It was the 1,000-year flood, if y'all remember that from a few years ago. And the storm was fierce. And sometime during the night, the wife of the man that was out digging with the shovel, who laid his house on the solid rock on that foundation, woke her husband up and she said, "Honey, come to the window quickly." She said, "There's something wrong across the street." He said, "Uh-huh." She said, "The house is caving in. It's falling. The flood, the winds, the rain is taking the house away." She said, "Come look." But he was so tired from digging, from building, from erecting his new house, that he didn't get up, because he was safe and secure in his house that was built on the rock. Before the morning came, the house that was built quickly had been washed away. But the house that was built on the rock, if I had a preaching church now, this would be a time for amen. Amen. But the house that was built on the rock has survived the storm, and it was still able to stand. I have a question for this crowd this morning. What are you building on? What's your foundation look? What does your foundation look like? Now, you look pretty good in these seats this morning, but what does your foundation look like? What have you been building on? Because for some of us, we've been building too quickly. Not on anything that will sustain us when the storm comes about. And this morning, my challenge for you, my challenge for myself, is build something that will last by building on the right foundation. By not just being a hearer of the word, but also being a doer of the word. Anytime in the text you see a therefore, you have to ask, what is the therefore? Therefore. If you look back at verse 21, 22, and 23, anytime I'm teaching theology, I try to skip over those verses because it's some of the most heart-wrenching verses in the Bible. Many will say they prophesied in my name. Many will say they cast out demons. Many will say they've done wonders in my name. And Jesus is going to tell them that, depart from me, because you practice lawlessness. It's as if he never knew them. Jesus has been talking in this section, not just simply about being a hearer of the word, but putting the word into practice. This parable for you and I, of these two builders, will teach us three facts about life that lasts. Number one, a life that lasts is built on a firm foundation. A life that will last is built on a firm foundation. I don't want to treat y'all like y'all in elementary school, but I got to say it one more time. A life that lasts is a life that's built on a what? Firm foundation. If you look at verse 24, it says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them," not just hear them, but what? Does them, "I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock." A wise man, a wise person, a wise woman, a wise child will always build their house, build their foundation on a rock. And the rock is the word of God. Amen. It's the only rock that I know that will last. It's the only rock that I know that will sustain you. It's the word of God. On a voyage one night, the ship that this little boy was on started to sink. And as the boats started to sink, he found his way off the boat. And nearby there were some rocks. And he held on to the rocks that he discovered in the midst of the sea for dear life until help came. And the next morning, help did arrive, and the boy was still clinging to the rocks. And they asked the little boy when he was rescued, they said, were you scared? And the little boy said, no. They said, were you nervous? No. Were you afraid? No. And they said, well, what was going on? Little boy said, I was trembling, but the rock never trembled. the rock held me during the storm. What are you building your foundation on? And I want to encourage you to build it on the rock. But if you keep perusing this text, you'll notice there was another foundation also built. In verse 26, it says that a wise person, that a foolish person, excuse me, builds their foundation on the sand. Who would build? Was Jesus playing with us? Who would build their house on the sand? I mean, who would do that? Oh, the foolish. The ones who maybe hear God's word, but are not doers of his word. You do realize in this text, he's addressing Pharisees. He's addressing scribes. So it's not like he's addressing these folks that's not exposed to his word. He's addressing folks that's involved with his word. He might have been addressing some CIU students. I mean, maybe CIU wasn't open back then, but he was addressing the learned crowd, the academic crowd, the church crowd. And he says to them that the foolish person builds their foundation on the sand. I've asked myself the question, what does the sand look like in our modern era? Our culture builds a lot of things on the sand. The sand could represent our entertainment. The sand could represent sports or our recreation, or it could represent even sex for some of us, because we build our lives around the wrong thing. For some of us, it's money. For some of us, it's the fame that we might be able to acquire in this life. We build our lives on the wrong stuff. And he says to this learned, this educated, this religious crowd, that life is built on the sand. Brothers and sisters, don't build your life on the sand. If you're building your life on anything else than the rock today, Lord, help me. Help me get back to a solid foundation. For some of us, we already have the walls up. Tear them down and build on the right foundation. For some of us, we dried in the roof, tear the roof off, tear the walls off, get back down to the foundation. For some of us, we say, I got my house decorated exactly like I want it. No, tear it down. Because you want to build it on a firm foundation. And I want to build it on the rock. You know, I wish I had a class right now. I would give a pop quiz. And I'd only have one question on the pop quiz. What kind of foundation are you building on? Because brothers and sisters, we have to take a personal reflection. We have to take a self-assessment. What kind of foundation am I building on? I sat in these very chairs 25 years ago. The same chairs. Dr. Lanford, don't get me in trouble, but it was the same carpet too. Amen, somebody. Upgrade the Hope Next. Upgrade the Hope Next. 25 years ago. You're supposed to laugh at that one, Dean. 25 years ago, I knew it sitting there. I'd come from Dillon, South Carolina, and I thought I had it together. And I knew I had it together now because I was in Bible college. Most people in Dillon called it Barber College, but I was in Bible College. And I thought I'd made it because I was here at Columbia Bible College when it became Columbia International University. Till one night I left class and went to church to my small group. And my small group leader started asking penetrating questions. I felt like the small group leader was in my business. And then the small group leader looked up at me and said something to me that changed my life. Just because you're in Bible college doesn't mean that you're closer to God. I said, yes, it does too. I studied the Bible all day long. I'm in the wrong crowd to be talking like this. Because I thought I had a ride because I made it to CIU, the Columbia Bible College. And I hadn't arrived. And the truth of the matter, I started building my foundation on the fact that I was a student here at CIU. And you know what? My small group leader was right. It doesn't make a difference to just be a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word. You know, the life that lasts is built on a firm foundation, but secondly, the life that lasts is tested by severe storms. Whew. Help me, Holy Ghost. Storms will always come. They're inevitable. They will show up. And you know what I don't like about storms? Whether you're righteous or wicked, storms will show up. Whether you're wise or foolish, storms will show up. Whether you build your house on the rock or on the sand, storms will show up. I wish this text would have said that storms only show up for the wicked. I'd have said, praise the Lord, and made the sermon, cut the sermon in half, and we'd have been at lunch by now. But in every life, some rain must fall. Storms show up. Matter of fact, in the text it said the rain fell. I don't like that. Wish I could take that out of my Bible. And not only that did the rain fall, but the flood came. It's one thing just to have the rain, but it's another thing to have a flood. But the wind also blew. It was like a hurricane or a tornado in the text. It's bad. And guess what? It falls on both houses. Storms will come. And while you're here as a student at CIU, can I tell you, storms don't take a break just because you're here. Storms may show up more often because you're here. And the rain fell. The flood came. The wind blew. And I like this word. Reverend Melvin, did you notice this word? And it beat against the house. In every life, some rain will fall. You know what I notice about storms of life? They are overwhelming at times. And I'm going, Lord, what are you trying to teach me from severe storms? And the only thing I can muster up for this crowd this morning is the Lord tries to teach me how to trust him when storms show up. I said, Lord, just tell me to trust you. I'll trust you. I don't need a storm to prove it. He said, nah, you need a storm to prove it every now and then. When I'm broke, here's a joke. God says, trust me. When I don't feel my best, God says, trust me. When I don't get the desired grade that I want in the class, I told you I sat in these chairs 25 years ago, the very same chairs, and I didn't always get the grades I wanted. God says, trust me. Trust me when the storms of life, trust me when things are not going the way you want them to. I've lost loved ones while I was here. Trust me. I've had some situations at church that didn't go my way. The Lord says, trust me, storms will. And for some of us, we might have been exposed to that theology that teaches us that if we become a Christian, that life will be a life full of roses. But they lied to you. Storms will blow. The rains will come. The flood will come. The winds will blow. But hold on to the rock. Hold on to the rock, which is Jesus. And you know what I notice about storms? Storms will reveal us. Storms will expose us, will tell us what we really have. For some of us sitting here this morning, we go, Jesus, I trust you. But oh, when some of us, we it doesn't have to be a severe storm. It's just a few raindrops. Lord, I'm done with you. I've seen people who shouted in church, spoke in tongues at church, but when the first crisis happened, they stayed home and said, I can't trust you, Lord, through this. But where would I go? Even when I can't trace him, I still want to learn how to trust him. Oh, I want to go on with my sermon because it's almost lunchtime, but somebody may be sitting here this morning and you've just started a brand new semester. And you, even though you're here in Columbia, you left a storm back home. And you're concerned. For somebody else, since you've been here, a storm has occurred. And somebody's sitting here going, I don't even know what he's talking about when he's talking about a storm. Just keep living. You won't have to find a storm. You won't even have to check the meteorologist report because storm shows up in all of our lives. But a life that lasts is tested by storms. So fact number one, the life that lasts is built on a firm foundation. Amen. A life that lasts is secondly a life that is tested by severe storms. The rains came, the flood, the winds. You all, Adriana is my daughter, that young lady sitting right there. Raise your hand, tell everybody you're my daughter. Yeah, tell everybody you're my daughter. Yeah. Adriana doesn't want me to tell y'all this, but I'm gonna tell y'all anyway. When Adriana was a little girl, like last week, when storms would occur, we knew where to find her. She would come into our room, her parents' room. She said, can I get into bed with you all? I'm scared. And I tell her, just go to sleep on the couch. She said, that's not close enough. I want to get into bed with you all. And she'd get between my wife and I. We go, Lord, have mercy. Then the other one would come and get into bed too. We'd be four of us in the bed together. We say, Lord, have mercy. Then when they got a little bigger, we say, how about catch that couch over there? Amen. Get on the couch. They said, we don't want the couch. We want to be in the bed with you. No, get on the couch. Finally, when they got so big, we mandated that they got on the couch. But Adriana would keep her eyes open during the night to watch us because she didn't like the storm. I told you that story to tell you this. I think Adriana had it right. Because sometimes when storms occur, instead of running to our daddy, we run from our daddy. Instead of getting close to our Heavenly Father, we go through the storm all by ourselves. Lord, I want to get just as close to you. I'm not comfortable catching the couch because there's a storm, Lord. I want to get just as close to you. I hope I didn't embarrass you, sweetie. I want to get just as close to you as I possibly can. Because storms can be severe at times. Well, not only do we have the life that lasts is built on a firm foundation, and secondly, a life that lasts is tested by severe storms, but thirdly, the life that lasts is secure from final disaster. I'm gonna say amen to my cooking here. Let me say that for you again. The life that lasts is secure from final destruction. Amen. Come on. Amen. You know, as I look at the text here again, in verse 25, the rains came. It said that they descended. The floods came. The winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall. For the one that was built on the rock. If you want to escape final disaster, make sure that you have a life that's built on the rock. Can I remind you what the rock is again? Not just being a hearer of the word, but being a doer of the word. Not just doing nice things for God, but Lord, I'm not going to hear your word. For some of us, our head has gotten bigger, but our heart has gotten smaller. I heard a young lady tell me just last week, she said, I want to find me a church where I can get under the word. And I told her, don't find a church that you can get under the word. Find you a church where you can get in the word. A dusty Bible leads to a dirty life. Get in the word of God. Be a doer of his word. If you want to escape final tribulation, a final destruction, final disaster. Say, Lord, I'm a be a doer of your word. You know, that would have been a really nice spot to conclude the sermon. But there's a problem. There's another verse saying, please say something about me. Can I expose it to you? Verse 27. And the rains descended. And the floods came. and the wind blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Why? Because this house was built on the sand. And I want to offer to you and offer to me, for those of us that hear the word and live disobedient lives, it'll always crumble. Sin will always embarrass us. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay, take you further than you want to go, and make you pay a price that you never wanted to pay. I want to conclude, but I got to ask the question. I'm a Baptist preacher. I got to ask the question before I conclude. Yeah. Has anybody started this semester and you realize that your foundation is shaky because there may be some sin in the camp? Some unconfessed sin that you're sitting here with. You look good. You're shaking your head at the right places. But you realize in your heart there's some sin. There's some sin that's keeping you from running to be with God. There's some sin that's keeping you from having a firm foundation. You got a builder's permit, but sin is keeping you from building on the right foundation. Matter of fact, some of us hadn't got a shovel. We just want to build a house so we can look good for the Joneses. But what about sin? Not just for the students, but how about for the faculty and staff? How about for the administration? Did everyone take an assessment as we start this new school year and ask the question, what's going on with me? Am I building on the right foundation? I want to encourage us all to find a church that we can find a small group to be in, that people can constantly look deeper into our lives and to challenge us to build on the right foundation. One had a shovel. One built quickly. Oh, I don't want to embarrass myself, and don't ask me about this ever again, but I built quickly sometime. And to be honest with you, it was a disaster. But thankfully, it didn't kill me. Thankful that the Lord allowed me to get on the right foundation. Somebody need to hear that. Well, what foundation are you building on? I got a couple of minutes here. Would everybody close your eyes just for a moment? Lord, we've looked into your word, and I've challenged you people, but help us make a commitment in our heart now. There could be someone here that really needed to hear what was being said today, because you realize you're not on the right foundation. In the quietness of this moment, confess whatever sin you need to confess to God. And secondly, get rid of your sin and move toward the rock. Father, thank you for our time together. And thank you that a life that lasts is built on a firm foundation, and that firm foundation is your word. Father, thank you that you reminded us that a life that lasts is tested by severe storms. Some of us might have been oblivious of why storms come from time to time. But thankful that we realize that the storms of life fall on the just and the unjust. But Father, the life that lasts is secure from final disaster because their life is built on the rock. May we be like that boy who was shipwrecked and find a rock and hold on to it. May we be like Paul in Acts 27 when he was shipwrecked, to trust you. Even when the El Niños of life come to hold on to you. Lord, as we leave this place, but not from your presence, watch over us, protect us, and guide us until we meet again. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.